Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program, the only place on this planet where you get everything Macintosh on your digital and radio in your car. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechDuel Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the coolest software if you want to take content that you just shot at your Halloween party, pull it back off that DVD and bring it into something else to incriminate somebody.
Yeah.
Right there, you can check that out over at DVD-XDV.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a MacBook Pro upgrades. You name it, all kinds of cool stuff. You can check them out over at MCETech.com. The official storage providers of the Inside Mac radio program, MCE, not MCE.
No, Firm Tech.
Firm Tech. You brain dead little man, you.
We have it for you.
Firm Tech, these cats make true SATA backplane storage, no interconnect cables, the stuff plugs right into a board. Very cool. They have the stuff for MacBook Pros, PowerBooks, G4s, G5s.
X-Server 8s.
You name it. These guys have some smoking cool, way fast storage. It's pretty cool. It really is neat stuff. You can do hot swap drives, all those kind of cool things.
Oh, yeah.
Check them out over at firmtech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the American Photo Magazine. Both those guys over at popphoto.com. Of course, Inside Digital Photo, the official photo show of Inside Max. You can check them out over at InsideDigitalPhoto.com or just pop on over to Pop Photo to find out all the cool information going on over there. Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals at CreativePro.com, Mac Update at MacUpdate.com, the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges at DigitalProductionBuzz.com, and of course the official printers, Real Ink on Paper Offset Print Dudes over at PrintingForLess.com. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and the lovely and talented Dina Orlando that does the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. Hey, Dina, tell us what's going on this week.
Well, Scott, where there was one, now there's two. Details on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Whoa, that's cool stuff. Dina, thank you so much. Isn't that fun stuff?
That is awesome stuff. Yeah.
Dude, the news is going to smoke this week. I'm just blown away by it. It's so very cool.
So what we got coming up for this show?
We have some cool guests this show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing guests.
Amazing.
Truly amazing.
Truly
yes.
Amazing guests.
Yeah, we have the guys from Kingston coming on.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. We're going to be talking all things
memory.
All things memory. All kinds of different type of memory technologies.
Yeah, we're going to concentrate a lot of stuff here on... we're going to concentrate on...
Okay, your memory's going. We need to talk...
No. We're concentrating more on the photo end of the memory stuff. I mean, definitely Kingston has memory that you can plug into your iBook and your iMac and your Mac Mini and all this other cool stuff. But
it's really when you go out and you have to go buy, you know, your 16 gigabytes of storage on a single card. You know, that's where
they just announced a 4 gigabyte, you know, SDHC. That's the secure high density dual double whammy card deal.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It reads it like 1,000x. What is it?
Yep, so Mike Snagger will be with us. He's the vice president of corporate communications for Kingston.
Yeah.
He's going to be calling in from Chi-Town, I think.
Chi-Town.
Whoa, cool stuff there. And we're going to have, later in the show, we're going to have Susan Caballero on. She is the marketing and communications manager for LowPro.
All right.
LowPro is going to be celebrating their 40th anniversary next year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at Photo Plus Expo in New York City this week.
Yes.
Introducing new stuff, the Slingshot 300, the 100, the 200 series, all kinds of cool stuff. New camera straps, Speedster, Voyager, Voyager S, and Voyager C. Mm-hmm. So these are pretty cool, springy-type, really insulated straps because, you know, you get a big digital SLR body and a big piece of glass in there. It gets pretty heavy.
Oh, yes,
and the straps they give you with a camera are weak.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's a great thing.
You know, it's accessorizing. It's like buying a pair of those Prada shoes.
You know? They make shoes? Yeah, they guess they make shoes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they make. I don't know what's in guy fashion anymore, you know? Once you get married and you're broke, that's it, you know?
Man, you're lucky when you're married if you can go to Walmart, bro.
There you go.
You are listening to the Inside Mac radio program. All things Macintosh. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brand Wright, and Dean Orlando is somewhere working on the news. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium. This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the only place on this planet that you'll find all the information that you ever need about the Macintosh here on the little radio at InsideMacRadio.com. This part of the Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out over at Micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodgetts, the full new cool guy keynote dude from Hollywood.
Ooh.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
I will still talk to you. Yeah,
but you got to pay first, right?
You leave your credit card with the receptionist.
Okay.
There we go.
No.
$5 a word.
It's such a cool morning this morning. I am on such a high. Today was the next TV day for the Television Academy, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the next TV symposium for What's Next for Your Career for members. And I delivered the keynote this morning.
Wow.
Oh.
Tell us about it. We missed it. We're stuck here in New York.
That's so sad.
That
is so sad. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously we're facing a change in distribution. I think we're at the end of the democratization of production, and we're at the beginning of the democratization of distribution. And I reassured the Academy members to say that this is not going to happen overnight. And if you're pitching network TV shows, your life probably isn't going to change much in the next 5 years. But for the rest of us, the vast majority of people are pitching cable networks and are pitching projects that aren't for that sort of rarefied atmosphere. We're going to see a lot of growth in the middle market.
Okay, well, tell me this. If you have a cable set-top box connected to your TV, and you have an ITV connected to your TV, and you maybe have an on-air terrestrial broadcast, you don't know any different. If once everything's connected to the TV, if you're going, flipping through channels or flipping through, you're not going to know any difference. No, if it's just as transparent to the average user, who's to say you wouldn't just say, no, I don't need my cable television. I'll just get it all through my ITV.
Absolutely. I think that's the direction we're going with. One of the trends, one of the seven trends that I identified is, of course, that distribution is, when it's digital, bypasses the gatekeepers, those people who program the channels and program the networks, as Studio 60 says, the candy-assed executives.
Yeah, those guys get paid so underpaid,
But Bobby Cole knows what he's doing.
Yeah, they kill a show with 9 million people in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, 9 million's not enough. They needed 20, so they're going to kill it to go after 20.
I'm sorry, your movie only did 200 million. You're fired.
But 9 million people is a very viable market if we can get around those gatekeepers, and this is what digital distribution is going to do for us. I mean, obviously the first trend is the increase in production because of the lower cost of production and concatenation of roles. We have producer editors, preditors, we have director editors, people like that. Stuff can find its own budget level. We don't have to, go with the Rolls-Royce budget. We don't have to have the huge catering trucks and craft services and all of that. There's a way of producing that doesn't involve all that. And then we get it into digital distribution. And the cool thing about digital distribution is that nothing is ever out of stock, and inventory is infinite. There's no DVD lost. It's always there. If you get a demand for 100 million, you can sell 100 million. If you demand for 50, you can still sell 50 and make a profit on each sale.
And not even just the distribution, but what if we get into a rental market? What if rental actually comes online? Like there are lots of rumors. What if you bypass the video store altogether, and you can just basically just rent it right directly to your computer,
Absolutely.
Or directly to your television?
Yep, we're going to get around. Barry Diller, in a recent event, just said, talked about, the distribution system we've had is a scarcity distribution system. There are only 168 hours on a channel, and you can only fill half of those with reruns. There's only 168 hours on a network. But, once the distribution leverage is gone, those choke points are going to evaporate. This is his words, not mine. It doesn't matter who buys what. New audience is going to be created somewhere by somebody that you can't buy.
Yeah. Yeah, and really those guys are like the Mark Cubans and the Barry. Well, actually, even not even Mark Cuban. I mean, Barry Diller really is a forward-looking guy. I mean, he really understands what's going on.
With a track record.
With a track record, oh yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, well, what's going to fill in for channels if you can't find the content? You know, channels are useful because I know that anything on Comedy Central is likely to be trying to be funny at least. And anything on Food Network is going to want to make me go eat something.
Tasty. They got some bread there, I bet you.
So, you know,
we won't even get into the other kinds of networks that might be out there that make you want to do other stuff.
That's true, get my other appetites going. That's true.
Yeah, it's like, here's me one overstimulated guy.
But promotional advertising, sure, but enhanced program drives with tagging. Users get to say how they think about the program, and then other users can find it that way. Social networks, I mean, that's word of mouth writ large, and you know, the global water cooler. And, of course, recommendation engines are going to be another important way that people find content. And it's important for directors and producers to know that the viewer will be in control. Whatever we do, whatever of these new methods that we go, we got to make it easy. And I don't think any of the digital stuff that we've done so far is as easy as it's going to be and as it needs to be.
Yeah, I think really the thing about it is that, you know, when you have the $300 ITV device or something similar to that, and you just literally, you know, I mean, when you have to get to that lowest common denominator type user.
Even iTunes is still not as easy as it can. You buy a season pass, you've got to go back and find each one. Why the heck can't they deliver them to you?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as they're available. That's what we've got to look at.
Yeah.
Because I talked a bit about the financial models, which is what everyone wanted to know about. How we can have advertisers supported, we have subscription, pay-per-view, and a thing called hyper-distribution, where it's a single sponsor that sponsors the show, you build the advertising in, and you send that out free over peer-to-peer networks.
Well, you know, as you look at it, is that there are people that are ready to lay down serious cash to solving these problems, like, you know, companies that go out and buy YouTube or MySpace. I mean, they're looking for more ways of getting out to those viewers because they're disappearing from traditional networks.
Yeah, but those opportunities are not for professionals. There's no way, apart from as a promotional vehicle and that preeminent promotional vehicle, just ask Weird Al Yankovic, who's in the Billboard top 10 because he put a video up on YouTube and has 215 friends on MySpace.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? You talk about this peer-to-peer distribution. We were talking about this, Philip, a few weeks ago about this Abacast deal, and this is not a real streaming service. They're actually using peer-to-peer technology to do some kind of commercial transaction.
But peer-to-peer is fine when there's a lot of people doing it, but as soon as you get something that's not of major interest, you know, if you try to download something off a peer-to-peer network that's where the track is like 2 months old, you are so lucky to get the full thing.
You get the out-of-stock video store experience.
Yeah, the very opposite of digital distribution. And I talked about how important it is to get the pricing right, because we have not yet got the pricing right. Even 65 cents for disposable television like The Daily Show is too much. It's worth 10 to 25 cents. And if The Daily Show could get 10 cents, they'd be getting two or three times the revenue now from their current audience than they do from Comedy Central.
Well, one of the biggest problems is that you have you can't treat them as individual credit card transactions because the transaction fees get too enormous. You know, credit card companies take a big chunk on each transaction.
A little startup company from a few people that I know very well, namely myself, are looking to solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's, and we'll have that solved very shortly.
I pitched you that softball and you hit
it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, what are you doing over there? Come on.
and we talked also about the types of content. You know, we have different, more variations in program. You don't have to make it 22 minutes if it's a 25-minute story or if it's an 18-minute story in this episode. And talked about the opportunity in original entertainment and niche marketing for, you know, edutainment like the Food Network.
Right, right. Philip, how do we get more information on what you're up to, maybe about this information, about this keynote that you did today? What's going on? Where do we get a hold of Philip? We got 30 seconds, brother.
The keynote was recorded. I have no idea what the Academy is going to do with it, but I'm sure they'll make it available for members, and I will share that with my audience and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find that on digitalproductionbuzz.com or on iTunes, and I share some of these ideas with my audience during the regular show.
Excellent, Philip. Thank you so much. Don't go away. Andy Shallett right up with the coolest Mac stuff there is.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the only place on this planet where you're going to find the quality of broadcast
that you deserve.
That you deserve. You do.
You deserve this.
You deserve the production qualities of a broadcast with the reach and the portability of a podcast. You can find us on our friends over at WUAP 1550 in beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and of course AM 1220 KNTS in beautiful San Francisco, and on the web over at iTunes.com.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV, the place to get the coolest software. If you've created something and you put it on a DVD, now you need to pull it back off the DVD and use it in iPhoto, iMovie. I don't know. It doesn't matter where you use it. As long as you pull it off that bloody DVD and reuse it, is what you want DVD-XDV for. You can check them out. They got a brand new website over at DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andy Shallett. Andy is the author of The Mac Design Out of the Box and other books that were too unfortunate to remember the name of them. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm going to be talking about memory later.
Well, yeah, memory.
The name is CNET Do-It-Yourself Mac.
Oh, project. That's right. The CNET guys, the guys that went to jail are going to go to jail. That's right. The CNET guys.
CNET. The brand. Thanks for your confidence. Thanks for your voting.
Are you talking on that bloody IP phone again? Because I can't even hear you, man.
Yes, I'm on that terrible Vonage phone. What can I tell you?
Our levels are so low.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Great. I'm doing just great. You know, you guys are talking about photography, being in New York for that photo show and everything, and yep. I thought I wanted to remind everyone about Lightroom from Adobe. I don't know if you've played with it yet. It's their answer to Aperture.
Now here's the big question, and the biggest thing that I have is the quality of the conversion, you know, and yeah. I think that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where I see the biggest difference is that who gets these things just right? What is your take on this?
Well, my take is that, well, I've been playing a lot with the beta. It's still beta, and that's what's nice about this is I think everyone should sign up for this thing and get your Adobe ID and sign up and download this and play with the Lightroom beta, because I've been playing with, I think it's up to version 4.1 right now. It's great for doing a lot of batch conversion, I'm finding, for finding levels, and it really is very nice. I think the quality of the conversion is great. You know, everything you can do in this, you can also do in Photoshop. I mean, it's just a few more steps, and I think the Photoshop is sort of the grandmaster, but it's also the master of too many things, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, I think you really do need to have your organization and your actual processing separate, you know, because, I mean, if you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with just too much stuff.
On the high level, you do want to have something that is, it's one tool that is tuned for one purpose, really. And I think Lightroom and I think Aperture as well are great for this stuff.
You know what I think it is too, Andrew?
They're kind of middling on Aperture, though. Yeah?
This is what I think, too. I think if Aperture is geared towards a professional or a pretty semi-pro type, really prosumer type photographer that sort of has their stuff together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And they don't need to go through and do some super quasi fix in Photoshop because they don't know how to take photos. And I think everything you need to do to a photo, you could probably do in Aperture. And you don't need to open Photoshop unless you really stepped on it.
I think that's right. Because, you know, Aperture, think about it, though. Aperture is really geared toward raw photo as well. Raw is just what it says. It's raw. It's what the light was when it hit the lens and bounced through the mirror and onto your your CCD.
Yeah, and the other angle on it, too, is that if you're shooting a lot of photos, you know, you better have it together because you don't have the time to fix all that stuff in Photoshop.
That's right.
You know, you really have to get those things
But
through.
I would suggest, though, anybody who does photographs. If you really want to keep these photos, I think that you should take a stab at least the beta, which it's a time, it'll time out, I think, in about a month. But the Adobe beta, start playing with that level of photos. You'll find out that you can do a lot more with it than you could before.
All right. Fantastic.
Andy, that was great stuff. Cool. You rock, brother. Thank you so much. How do we find out more information about Andy Shalit? You got 20 seconds.
Okay. Well, you can go to shalit.com. That's S-H-A-L-A-T. And you can always listen here on Inside Mac Radio. And you can read my books. And so if you go to my site, you'll find my books listed there.
This is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by our friends over at MCE Technologies. You want to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, an upgrade for your old G4, you name it. These cats are stocked with the goods. Check them out over at mcetech.com. Right now we're here with little Sammy 11, the purveyor of cool Mac picks, and he's got more cool Mac things for your Mac this week. Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
Hey. Guys and
hey.
All our friends out there in Cool Mac Picks land.
Yeah.
Well, our friends at OtterBox have come up with a new case. Now, we know OtterBox. They make waterproof cases for everything under the sun, iPod, even cigar cases, PDA cases. And it's great if you're taking them camping or you're in inclement weather or whatever.
Or you're going scuba diving and you need your iPod.
Construction
yeah.
workers.
Water sports.
OtterBox has come up with a
Whoa,
new
OtterBox.
Laptop case called the OtterBox 7000 series. This thing is the most indestructible case I have seen in many, many years. It's waterproof. It fits any 15.4-inch widescreen. So anything up to a MacBook Pro, 15-inch MacBook Pro, so all the MacBooks it will fit. And here's what's so cool. It's not only heavy-duty, guys, but inside they've created removable rubber bumpers. So you can fit it to exactly
the dimensions of your case.
Exactly.
Stick it right in there.
And it's Velcro on the inside, and these bumpers fit in the Velcro pieces. So you move them around, and this is that heavy-duty earthquake stuff that cannot be removed unless, you know,
you take a jackhammer and just, you know, chisel it off. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's really, really well done. It's got a lock. The handle. This thing is like, I would say it's the Superman of PowerBook and MacBook cases. It's really well done. Of course, it weighs a little bit because it's got to withstand a lot of pressure, and also it's completely waterproof. It's $169.95. It's from OtterBox. If you go to otterbox.com, you'll see it. I think it's cool, and my only gripe is I want it in other colors other than black. You know, it'd be cool if it was yellow or orange, or, you know, I could see people in, you know, the FAA using this, you know, when they're on, you know, some weird outing, or people in the military. I think military will go crazy with this device. But anyway, it's called the OtterBox 7000 series. I am all over this, Scott. You got to check this out.
That's cool stuff. I like industrial heavy duty.
Yeah, things that just don't break.
Yeah,
there's nothing like this I've seen. But I dig it. I just wish it was available in other colors. And they are coming out with a 17-inch version for people like Scott that has a 17-inch PowerBook.
Or a pink one.
Yeah, right.
For my 17-incher.
I think their demographic is probably more male-skewed, but still, this is like, you know, the Panasonic Toughbook? Well, now
yeah.
I have a Toughbook for my MacBook Pro.
Oh, so this actually, I mean, I was a little bit confused. This case actually allows you to operate. This one, this is not just you stick your computer inside. This is so you operate your computer in a watertight environment?
Well, no, you can use it in the case, but once you close the case, you could throw this in the lake, and it's waterproof.
Oh, wow.
So
wow,
it's got a complete O-ring around the inside. Scott knows what I'm talking about. It's heavy duty, and they make a whole line of iPod cases. I think it's great.
That is
very
awesome.
Waterproof. That's very cool waterproof. Stuff.
Yeah, Scott was doing the water sound effects.
Yeah. Well, OtterBox is known for doing really heavy duty protective cases for all sorts of devices, even tablet PCs, and because those things. I mean, your LCD. If you drop an LCD, it's over. That's the most expensive part of a machine, a PC, a laptop, is your LCD screen.
Yeah, this is so true.
That and the licensing fees.
Anyway, check it out at OtterBox. They're coming out with a whole new line of these cases.
All right. That is cool. That is cool.
I like it.
Cool, man.
Sammy, thank you so much. That was Sam Levin with his Cool Mac Picks. You can listen to Sam every week here on Inside Mac Radio. Just check it out over at InsideMacRadio.com. Next up here, we're going to talk about memory. We're going to have Mike Sager, Vice President of Kingston, on. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want a cool place to get a MacBook, a PowerBook, you name it, cool stuff, MCETech.com, and of course, FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program. Cool, great, high-speed SATA back pain solutions, MacBook Pro Express 34 card, PowerBook, PC MCIA cards, PCX cards, PCI Express cards, you name it, G4, G5, all kinds of great stuff going over. This stuff smokes. Check it out over at FirmTech. That's FirmTech, FirmTech.com. Right now we're here with Mike Sager from Kingston. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good, Scott. How are you today?
Very good. So tell us, you guys have a bunch of stuff going on at Kingston.
Yes, we do. So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is, in case some of your listeners don't know who Kingston is, I'd just like to sort of tell you a little history.
Please give us a background in Kingston and what you guys are and your history and all that kind of cool stuff.
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, for starters, Kingston is the world's largest independent memory module manufacturer. Had to get that little plug in there. We make memory modules for every type of device under the sun, desktops, laptops, servers, on and on. We've also got a wide variety of flash products for digital cameras, cell phones, PDAs, USB drives, and so on. I'll talk about that a little bit later. On a side note, since this is a Mac audience, we've been in business since 1979, and interestingly enough, our first product was a 1 megabyte module for one of the older Mac systems.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we got our start in that market, so that's pretty good. Okay, and again, since this is a Mac show, let me just talk about Kingston's involvement in that market. As I said, our first product was, in fact, a module for a Mac machine, and but Kingston has been involved with Apple's developer program for quite some time, and that's a very important point, I think, for your listeners, because what that does is it gives Kingston access to a lot of information. It allows us to make sure that when Apple comes out with a new machine, that the memory that we manufacture for it is absolutely guaranteed to be compatible with it. So if your listeners purchase a Kingston module for one of the newer Apple machines, they can be pretty confident that it'll work right out of the gate.
Hey, yeah. Mike, what's the difference in, is there a difference when people go to buy memory for their computer? I mean, everybody has memory. There's a lot of people that have memory. Is one different than the other?
You mean across, like, manufacturers?
Yeah. So what's the difference in I buy XYZ brand if I want to buy a Kingston brand memory?
You know, from generic manufacturer versus your product.
Right. Well, the difference, really, the components, the DRAM chips themselves, everybody buys them from the same semiconductor manufacturers, Micron, Hynix, whoever.
Right.
The difference, really, is in the attention to detail on the design and the quality control that's put into place for during the manufacturing process. And Kingston does not cut any corners. We test every module that we ship out the back door, obviously before it gets shipped. We go to great pains to try and test them so that we can force any marginal modules to fail before it does go out the door. And I think that's one of the strengths that Kingston brings to market.
So do you guys have like a lifetime warranty on your memory? Or
yes, lifetime warranty. Oh, wow. Lifetime warranty. We've got overnight replacement if somebody does have a failure. We've got 24/7 technical support that we do not outsource. It's staffed all by Kingston employees. We split it between our corporate headquarters in Fountain Valley and our European headquarters over in London.
Oh, fantastic.
Tell me about, you guys have just come out with some brand new, very cool, large capacity, 4 gigabyte, secure, digital, high capacity. What's this SDHC card deal? Tell us about this.
The SDHC is the next generation of secure digital, and secure digital was limited to a maximum of 2 gigabytes, and the SDHC cards actually allow that capacity to be to go up to higher than that, and we've just introduced a 4 gig card.
So what is the actual native of, I mean, do you know, like, what would be the max that, this new format will get us up to?
You know, I'm not entirely certain, but I believe it is 8 gigabytes.
Oh, wow. So now, and on a stick that's the size of a postage stamp, you know, you now can get 4 gigabytes of memory.
Are yes, the form factor is the same as a secure digital card.
Wow.
The newer cameras will support the SDHC, however.
Wow.
Well, that's crazy.
That's, now, that's
also
amazing.
Tell us about your the Kingston Icons of Photography program.
Okay, glad you brought that up because we're really happy with the way that program is. That is a section on our website called Icons of Photography, and it's an educational section that features several world-renowned photographers that we've engaged with, like Colin Finley, Doug Kirkland, who shot Marilyn Monroe. Actually, he didn't shoot her, but he shot
taken lots of pictures of her. Marilyn Monroe wasn't shot.
And that's right. And there's a very famous guy named Chris Rainier, who is of National Geographic fame. And what these guys do is we feature one of them every month, and they will write a photography tip that we post up on the website that anyone can visit. And each of the icons that we have, they've got a gallery of some of their work as well as scheduled appearances. And each month we put up a new icon.
Wow, that's great.
Let me tell you what the URL is in case some of your listeners are interested. www.kingston.com/digitalmedia, and that's all one word, /IOP.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I really can go in there and find some great tips about from, you know, some pros and
yes.
And find out their stories. And what are the kind of things do you guys have cooking that may be coming out?
One of the things that we're working on with regard to digital photography is one of our compact flash cards, which is it's very fast. It's 133X. It's got recovery software on it. That unfortunately right now only works on the Windows operating systems, but we're working on a version that works on Mac systems as well. And the recovery software is obviously to help you recover any lost images that you may have lost for one reason or another on your compact flash card.
So really, I mean, when it comes down to write speed, you know, as you get to larger 10 and larger 10 megapixel, 12 megapixel, 16 megapixel cameras, this is kind of the thing you need. To get your photos in and out, what is the capacity of this 130? I'm gonna have missed that.
Well, this goes up to 8 gigabytes.
8 gigabytes.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm amazed every time I see that.
Wow. Wow. And that's a fairly still a small form factor. That's amazing density.
It's the original CF form factor. If you're familiar with that, I think it's probably 2 inches by 2 inches. I think is what it is.
Wow. What's the difference between a regular compact flash, and then you have the Elite Pro, and then there's the Ultimate High Performance? Are these just based off of the read-write speed of the cards?
Yes, except for the standard version is our entry-level product, and it goes up to 4 gigabytes. And then the Elite Pro is higher speed than the standard version, and it also goes up to 4 gig. And again, the ultimate line is a line that goes up to 8 gigabytes, 133X speed, and also has a data recovery software that comes with it.
Wow, that's cool. Now, if you have it for the Mac, it would be even better.
Yeah.
Well, you typically don't use,
you know, here's the thing is I've never lost a digital, you know, an SD card or a compact flash card on a Mac before.
Not yet. Maybe on a Windows box, the virus is leaking in and everything. You know, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
May not
and
have
I
been
have
a,
yeah, I think I have a Kingston card in my Canon right now, matter of fact. And,
oh, do you? Well, I've got four Kingston cards, so and I've never had any problems with them as well. So, I mean, I know I work there, but the fact is I've never had a Kingston failure.
No, neither have I. And I think this problem with the card I/O getting screwed up when they're writing to them is just a problem that stems from the friends over in Redmond. So
I wouldn't really call them friends.
Oh, sure, we love them. Let's talk about some other accessories, you guys. You guys actually offer card readers?
Yes, we do. We've got quite a few of those. The most versatile one is one that we call 15-in-1, and essentially it will take any form factor, SD, compact flash, mini SD, on and on it goes. So you can buy one unit and any type of digital media that you might have, you can plug into this and move files back and forth between that and your PC.
Now, your Macintosh. How does this plug into your computer? Is this a PCMCA card or is this a USB 2.0?
It plugs into the USB port.
Oh, so this is a USB 2.0 reader?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Fantastic. Okay.
Very cool. Now, Mike, how do we get more information on the memory stuff for the PCs, you know, for the Mac, or a PC if you're unlucky enough to have one? You know, the card readers, the high capacity cards. How do we get all the cool stuff that's going on over at Kingston, the icons of photography, all this cool stuff?
Okay, if you go to Kingston's website, which is, oddly enough, kingston.com.
Wow.
Right on the front page, there is what's called a memory configurator, and all you need to do, it's pretty self-explanatory how to use it. You pick the manufacturer that you're interested in. This case, it would be Apple. And, for example, if you had a G5. Hold on.
Oh, we are running. You got to get us quick.
In any case, you select the system that you have, and it will tell you what it comes with in terms of base memory and what the maximum memory is you can put in it, and also the Kingston part numbers for what goes in that machine.
Well, hey, Mike, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy yourself in Chicago there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our friends over at Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want the coolest place to get the coolest techniques about the greatest things in digital photography, this is the place to go. You can check them out over at popphoto.com.
And you know why?
Why?
Because it's cool.
It is cool. And if you go over there,
and
you'll
we
be
say
cool too.
One more time, and if you're not cool, you got to listen to it, you know, because if you're not cool,
it's cool, baby.
Then it's not cool. I mean, it's definitely not cool.
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about last week. Last week we were in New York City.
Yeah.
Well, the week before, actually.
Yeah.
Last week, it's the same thing. Week, yeah, whatever.
We don't even know what week it is.
I don't even know.
It's
I'm going to sleep.
It's been a buzz. We were talking about memory earlier, weren't we?
Well, no, we were, but I want to talk about Red. I was talking about the 4K deal, and you stalled me in my you know, I'm having a moment. I'm thinking. And, you know, I want to talk about the Red. We saw the Red 4K preview.
Yeah, and what I thought was really quite funny about this is that in the one that I was at, first Ted goes out and runs this. If you don't know what the Red 4K is, the Red 4K is a camera that's very small. It hasn't been developed yet. It's fairly small as the body, and it's about $17,000, but it shoots at the quality of 35mm film or beyond 35mm film. And for $17,000 for the body, it's incredible. It's an amazing camera. It's about 12 megapixels, shoots at up to 60 frames per second, full motion. And so they ran some footage from the camera. And on the second, you know, as Ted was Ted Shilowitz, who's the who's basically the leader of the rebellion, which is his official title at Red. After the second time they ran this footage, Ted says, "Okay, I want all these. I want to pick up 15 guys from the audience, and I want you guys to stand right in the front row, and like right up against the screen, and you guys tell me what you see when we project this movie." And he gives, you know, they're going to show it again, and as they're showing it again, he goes, Ted's like, "All right, does anybody see any pixels? Does anybody see any pixels?" And their face is like, you know, an inch from the screen. "No, I still don't see any pixels there, Ted. I still don't see any pixels." You know, so literally,
because the image is being projected on the back of their head.
Yeah, it's all black to me, man.
Whoa!
I still don't see any pixels. Yeah, it was really quite good. I mean, yeah, it was great. You know, just to be able to see the industry change that much, where you can get a camera that's that high quality for $17,500, that's crazy, because that's going to just change the industry. I mean, you know, you can go out and shoot your indie film. You don't have to shoot it on 35mm. You can go get one of these cameras and start cranking. I mean, and then go to have the maximum quality going forward. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be cool. It'll be interesting to see the camera when it comes to polish, software interface, user accessibility of the camera, the UI of the camera,
oh yeah,
ergonomics of the camera, because yeah, right now it's rough.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be rough. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit dicey when it first comes out. There's no question about it. But the fact that you actually can do this is something that, you know, it'll take some time to smooth out. But it really is going to change the industry, because now suddenly guys that don't have big budgets can go out and make a tremendous film. I mean, it was about a month ago.
You know something, though? I mean, you can make a tremendous film and you can shoot it in 4K, then telescene it and reverse it and cinema tool it and spit it back out on film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If your content sucks,
well, that's where I was going. That's where I was going with it. If you know who Christopher Nolan is, I was about a month ago. I was at Hollywood where Christopher Nolan was showing off his very first film, which he made for $11,000, and it rocked. I mean, $11,000, and it was all content. It was fantastic. Now he could have done the same thing, and it looked like 35mm film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
very good.
Yeah, but in the long run, it's all about content, baby.
Oh yeah.
If the content's not there, then it doesn't matter if you shoot it on Super 35, an Arriflex 16, or an 8mm turd, a Brownie camera. Garbage is garbage, baby. But I still want a Red.
Yeah. Gotta have the gear, man.
Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Coming up here, we're going to have more cool stuff. Dina with the news of the week. We're going to have Susan Capilaro on from Low Pro talking about storage for your high-dollar little electronic devices. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program, the only place on this planet where you can hear Macintosh radio technologies on the air. You're listening to Inside Mac in San Francisco on KNTS 1220 AM. And our friends in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WUAP 1550 AM. And you can find out more information about the Inside Mac radio program over at InsideMacRadio.com or over on iTunes, and just search for Inside Mac and you will find it there, gleaming and happy, ready to download to you.
Ready for you.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, DVD-X, DV, MC Technologies, and FirmTech, and our media partners of Pop Photo, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. We had some pretty cool guests the previous hour.
Oh, yes, we did. We talked a lot about memory.
We talked about memory and how heathens like to use memory, too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, heathen box lover.
Heathen box lover. Yes. You heathen box lover.
It was very cool. We had Mike Sager on from Kingston talking about some cool stuff. They got new 4GB SDHC. That's the secure digital high capacity card. Where the biggest they made before was a 4 gigabyte and a regular SD card.
Yeah.
Now you can go bigger than that, so that's why they made this SDHC.
I really can't believe the kind of densities they're pulling off for digital cameras. I mean, obviously, megapixel sensors are getting, you know, the max made out of pixels getting on a chip is getting bigger, but every time you put more on a chip, you have to increase, you know, your storage capacity.
Right here out of my phone.
That thing is like...
There's a 4 gig card.
That's about... Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. That's hard to believe that you can actually get, you know, I remember I got my first gigabyte drive and I was so happy when I had 1 gigabyte hard drive and man, this is 4 gig on a card. This is crazy.
Yeah. And that was like $50 at Fry's. That's in my phone. That's not even in my camera. That's in my Trio.
$50. Wow.
Yeah. For four gigs.
So really that actually can also be a way of backing up your computer for people that don't back things up.
You could.
You can just back it up to a 4 gig card. Keep your emails and everything on there. That's great.
You can keep the things on there you want to hide from your girlfriend.
I think she heard that there. She heard that, and now she's
that's okay. It's a reason to run out and buy a 4 gig card. Trust me.
Yeah, that's right. She's waving something at you. I think
right. She has my cash in her hand. Oh, well, it's cool. But no, it's really cool stuff. So I would like to thank Mike again for coming on the show. Later in the hour, we're going to have Suzanne Caballero on. She's the marketing and communications queen over there at Low Pro.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about, it's their 40th anniversary coming up next year.
Mm-hmm.
They got several activities taking place over the course of the year. Of course, they're exhibiting here at Photo Plus in New York.
Yes.
They got new cameras bag, the Slingshot 300, mm-hmm. the Slingshot 100 to 200 series, fits pro level SLR cameras. And they got new straps that I have one of them that rocks.
Yeah,
I haven't put it on my Sigma yet.
It's kind of funny is that you can have this great nice bag, but then you put it on your body and it just the strap eats in and just cuts all the way in deep into your bone. You know, it's just
well look at this camera I've been using. I have this EOS 1D Mark II.
Yeah,
you know, and the camera costs $6,000,
and it weighs about 50 pounds,
and the strap's worth about 60 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with this?
No, it's like, you know, it's like anything. It's like you just got to, well, I'm sorry, you got to buy the strap too.
For that kind of money, you should come with a Louis Vuitton strap or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Coach one?
Yeah.
Maybe a Prada?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You know, give me something real at least. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Something I can show off to my friends. I got a $6,000 camera. What's up with a $2 strap? Loser?
Exactly.
Well, I spent all my money on the camera. Exactly.
See, now Apple wouldn't, it's like, that's one of the difference between, you know, traditional manufacturers with Apple. Apple would give you a nice, you know, nice set of utilities and whatnot with your product. I mean, they'd give you a great user experience with it.
Yeah, but they give you a great iPod with no case.
That's true. They do give you an iPod with no case.
And when they do say
but the headphones.
It's a C-note.
But they have the headphones. The headphones are sick. I mean, absolutely.
You like
crazy.
The new headphones?
Oh, they're crazy. I mean, they sound better than my Shure's, the EC A4Cs.
Well, you got hosed there, huh?
Yeah, I think these. They're not as comfortable. I mean, the Shure's are more comfortable, but I tell you, it's like those headphones are crazy good. With the iPod. I mean, they're really good. They didn't give you some cheapy little...
Those guys ever send you back those other headphones that broke?
I never even bothered. The Shure's are just so much better. More comfortable. Oh, yeah. Yeah, much better phones.
Guess we won't mention who that was.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show, the only place on this planet to get the coolest information about your Mac. And here in a minute about Macintosh and your audio on your Mac. But either way, this part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by our friends over at American Photo. You can check them out over at AmericanPhotoMag.com, or you can just cruise on over to PopPhoto.com to see all the cool stuff going on there. Brad, right now we have a very cool guest.
Yes, we do. This we have next up, we're going to be talking audio gear, and we have our guest here. Her name is is Stephanie Jorgel, and she has a website called audiohead.net, and we are going to talk serious audio stuff.
Cool.
Stephanie, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Brad?
Oh, excellent.
Great.
So tell us about your, tell us about who Stephanie is.
Yeah, tell us about you and your site.
Well, I have a long past of being an audio fiend, starting with writing music on the piano when I was 10, getting into doing MIDI-based programming on the Mac when in the early 90s, and then as things progressed and interfaces became a little bit more affordable, moving into recording directly audio to the Mac in the later 90s. So I also, at the same time, got into doing pro audio journalism, starting with doing some features for Apple for a few years, and moving into magazines like DigiZine, the Pro Tools magazine, doing all their cover stories, and then writing for EQ and Pro Sound Web. And then I launched audiohead.net as well. And that is a website that is kind of a cool resource for learning about recording. I have a bunch of features with top producers and engineers, sound designers, people like Hans Zimmer, Trent Reznor, Butch Vig, Scott Humphrey, Rob Zombie.
Yeah, you can actually go to your site and see some of these interviews with Rob Zombie and Underworld and just about everything.
Coldplay,
yeah.
Radiohead, lots of different bands, and their producers and their engineers. And the cool thing is it's kind of like a portal. You can read a feature on someone, and they talk about the gear they use to record and the plugins and effects and their processes. And then you'll see in the sidebar there's a link to all the gear that they use. And then if you click on there, there's kind of like an overview on that that particular product, whether it's, you know, the software, the hardware that they use. And then also on that same page, there'll be quotes from other stories. So you can kind of wander around. There's a lot of educational sites access AudioHead. So it's a really good learning resource if you're interested in recording and just kind of getting a feel for what different you know, top producers and engineers and bands use.
So. Yeah, now we want to talk about today it was only a few, just, I mean, how long it was. Wasn't very long ago that Apple released GarageBand and suddenly the industry changed.
Okay.
What happened?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that coming from, you know, being in the whole audio industry before GarageBand, there were several different applications out there for recording on the same level. However, they were always at a price point that was about, you know, $300, you know, for an entry-level app. So it was a positive thing for the industry. At the same time, it was a little bit hard because when GarageBand came out, all of a sudden you've got, you know, a major brand like Apple pushing it to a consumer audience. And so you were exposing all these additional people. One out of five people records in their home or is interested in writing music or plays the piano. So there you get Apple telling all these people who don't know that they can record to their computer, hey, you can record to your computer. So that was a really phenomenal thing for exposing people, more people, and getting more people interested in doing recording on computers. At the same time, they released GarageBand included with iLife for $50.
Oh yeah. just ridiculous.
So that was great, but on the same level, it was really hard for a bunch of these struggling developers that, you know, they really had worked hard to develop their develop their product, and then all of a sudden they get this big company that comes in and says, oh, you don't have to pay $300 for that. You can just pay $50.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think with anything, you know, change is good and bad for different people. But overall, I think it was a positive thing for the industry because it introduced so many more people to, at least Mac-using people, to the concept of home recording. And then at the same time, I think like you'll find Apple, you know, and the whole PC market, this always happens. You know, Apple has always had the ability to come up with a concept and deliver it in 3 months. Like, I want to develop this software, like iMovie, for example, or iDVD. Steve Jobs is like, let's do it. 3 months later, it's on the market. PC companies, they may have to test it out on different platforms because they don't have the software hardware all on one. You know, they have to test it on different hardware. So it takes them a lot longer to test something out. So Apple's always been a really good, good at breaking ground in that way. And so I think it's just, I think you'll see that, like, the PC companies scrambled to do the same thing right after. Of course, they didn't have the DVD authoring software, but it's kind of interesting how Apple can affect such a change, even if they're just releasing it for the Mac community. They're just changing. They actually have a huge change and effect on the entire industry for both Mac and PC. So it's really, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah. Steph, there's so many different audio interfaces now, and Pro Tools is still pretty much the industry standard for multi-track recording. Do you think someone should even mess around with trying to play with anything else, or just go buy an inbox and start learning Pro Tools?
Well, I can just tell you from all the different people that I've interviewed of all time, producers and engineers, I have heard so many people say, and this comes from before Apple even owned Logic, that before they bought eMagic, that they would use Logic. Logic is the best. They would use Logic, except for it's too tough to learn.
Oh, yeah, that's a big barrier.
I think they've made things a little bit more intuitive, and, as far as, the newer versions since Apple bought eMagic. But generally, there's certain things. With Pro Tools, it is so sample accurate and locked, and I would say the majority of people use Pro Tools for that reason, because there's just nothing that can touch it. As far as the interface, I love Logic. I think it's customizable if you want to set up your screen sets. It's nice to look at. It's beautiful color.
Yeah. We're looking at, like, okay, so there's a person that, like, they're recording directly by plugging directly into their PowerBook or their MacBook. What's a good entry level interface for them to go look at?
I think that GarageBand is great. I think GarageBand is great, and I'll tell you why I think GarageBand is great. You can use pretty much any interface you want. This is one of the problems that, although I love DigiDesign and they've been very good to me as far as having me write for their magazine and everything. But at the same time, if you want to do recording in Pro Tools, maybe it's more simple because you only have one choice. You go and you get the inbox, okay? Mm-hmm. Or you go and you get the 002. But you have to use Pro Tools hardware. You have to use Pro Tools plugins. You have to use those, where it just seems like there's more options. There's a lot of companies that do Pro Tools plugins, but they also do them for audio units. So, if you use GarageBand, you can use any audio units in there. You can use, pretty much any audio interface you want, except for the MBox, because that's a Pro Tools or a DigiDesign thing.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. How to get more information from you, and where do we go?
Oh, okay. Well, you can go to audiohead.net if you want to check out a bunch of information on different recording interfaces, what people use, what software is out there. It's audiohead.net.
All right.
Online,
excellent. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, sure.
Really appreciate it. I'll have to have you on soon. Yeah.
Great stuff, Steph. We're going to have her back soon. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Next up, Dean Orlando will be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our friends over at American Photo Magazine. All you need to do is pick up a copy at your newsstand. Check them out over at AmericanPhotoMag.com, or you can go over to PopPhoto.com. Right now, we're here with Dean Orlando with all the cool news of the week. Take it away, Dina.
Thanks, Scott. The product Red 4GB iPod Nano was upgraded this week as Apple has added an 8GB iPod model to the product Red fundraising lineup. Available now on Apple's website is the 8-gigabyte iPod Nano Product Red Special Edition. It's selling for $249, and like the 4-gig Product Red Nano, $10 of its proceeds goes to the AIDS Fund. The 8-gigabyte model was in response to outstanding demand, as Apple's VP of Worldwide iPod Product Marketing, Greg Joswiak, said customer response to the iPod Nano Product Red Special Edition has been off the charts. The Product Red campaign, which kicked off in the United States in October, was initiated by rock star Bono and philanthropist Bobby Shriver. It is a corporate charity movement where companies donate a portion of sales from designated products to support the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. NT Media has signed an agreement to distribute music on iTunes. The company has signed Mikey Mo, the MC, and is scheduled to be the first of NT Media's music artists to be distributed on the music store. The distribution deal with iTunes is through a collaborative distribution agreement with Shelter from the Storm Records and includes numerous internet destinations and mobile download platforms. Apple has announced the launch of iTunes Latino, a dedicated area within the U.S. iTunes store that features top Latin music, music videos, audiobooks, and podcasts. iTunes Latino offers hundreds of thousands of Latin and international music tracks, including exclusive tracks and albums available only on iTunes. The iTunes Latino area is dedicated to Latin and Latin-influenced music in many genres, including regional Mexicano, pop Latino, and hip-hop. It also includes exclusives, albums, EPs, and tracks from leading Latino artists such as David Bisbal, Daddy Yankee, Marco Antonio Solis, and Paulina Rubio, to name a few. In addition, Apple has added popular Spanish-language television programming from Telemundo, as well as bilingual programs to the iTunes store, and are now available for purchase. The new content features popular Telemundo programming such as El Cuerpo del Deseo, as well as reality content like the Immigration Special. More Telemundo content will be available on iTunes in the coming months. Computer Weekly has released their list of the top 10 greatest IT people, stating sometimes they have changed technology, sometimes they have transformed the way technology is marketed, or radically altered the way IT is perceived by society. So who topped Computer Weekly's 40th anniversary poll this year? Apple co-founder and CEO Steve Jobs. The report stated whether Jobs' next creation changes the world like Apple II, or turns out to be a bomb like the Apple Lisa, his place in computing history is guaranteed. A few others on the list include Martha Lane Fox from LastMinute.com. Arthur C. Clarke came in at number 7. Bill Gates took the number 3 spot, and Tim Berners-Lee, the father of the web, came in the 2nd spot. In addition, Computer Weekly readers are saying that Dilbert is the guru of corporate culture, stating it has more insight into corporate life and organization than any number of highly paid management consultants could ever achieve. It seems that a few people have noticed a little change after they've upgraded to iTunes 7.0.2. They couldn't read the music they wanted to purchase because it was in a different language. Shortly following the upgrade, their default country was changed for the iTunes store. One confused iTunes user said, "I discovered this morning that iTunes thought I lived in France." It is not directly related to iTunes 7.0.2, as users who haven't updated to the new version have also experienced the same mini vacation. But if you find yourself looking at a different language, resolving the glitch is quite easy. Just scroll down to the bottom of the iTunes Store homepage and select the country you actually reside in. Coming up, find out how iTunes saved the popular show The Office when the Inside Mac Minute headline news continues.
When it comes to product development and the strategic direction of your business, not everyone can offer you a crystal ball.
At the industry measure, formerly Trendwatch Graphic Arts, we're not clairvoyant, but soon it may seem that way to you. With extensive market surveys in the field at least 6 times a year, the industry measure delivers you reliable, projectable market data that makes growing your business seem magical. Digital printing, variable data printing, employee retention, overseas outsourcing, new media, investment projections in the creative, printing, internet, and publishing markets. The industry measure reports the variables that ensure your business never becomes a vanishing act. We measure the information you need in a wide variety of market reports, atlases, special and mini reports, on time and on budget. Hocus pocus? No, just focus. Visit theindustrymeasure.com, your industry data resource. The Industry Measure.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our friends over at CreatorPro. If you're a creative professional and want to get some cool tips, tricks about creating things in Dreamweaver, Photoshop, Illustrator, it doesn't really matter what. As long as you're creative, you need CreatorPro.com. Check them out, www.creatorpro.com. We're here with Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program. Dina, you have more stories that happened this week that we want to hear about. Take it back.
Thanks, Scott. Apple is now the number 2 supplier to the UK education market and has pushed Dell into third place. Apple has 14.7% of the total PC market for education, including laptop and desktop computers. In first place is Research Machines with 34.9% of the market. Dell is in third place with 14.1%, and HP is in fourth place with 7.7% of the market. Apple confirmed that in the fourth quarter of its 2006 financial year, it was the number one computer supplier in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, also known as EMEA education market. Gartner analyst Isabel Duran told Macworld, for the first time, Apple is number one in the EMEA education market with 11.6% of the market in the third quarter of 2006 against 9.6% in the third quarter of 2005. Duran believes Apple's growth in the education market is a result of the company's current focus on that market. In addition, she said that Apple's MacBook has been very successful in the education sector. The old perception that business users of Macintosh platform had limited software options is quickly fading as the Mac and PC worlds are drawing closer together. An article from Mac Observer said even though Apple software sells to a smaller user base than Windows products, Macintosh users generally face no shortage of business and productivity software options. Part of the reasons for Apple software product staying power is that the Macintosh computers have run mainstream Windows-based applications like Microsoft Office for years, and both Macintosh systems and their software are extremely user-friendly. Workers are approaching their IT managers with a request that they be allowed to use their own personal Macintosh system as their office desktop or that the company purchase a Macintosh for them at an increasing rate. According to one analyst, there is no doubt that Apple's Macintosh market share has increased over the last 12 to 18 months. The recent deployment of an Intel processor that runs Windows applications and the success of the iPod has propelled Mac software into making a comeback into the corporate workplace. Apple continues to improve the Mac operating system by continually refreshing and enhancing Mac OS X, and dropping the price shows that the company is a fierce competitor. One popular TV show has iTunes to thank, as it was on the chopping block before it was made available on the popular online store. The show, The Office, and according to Newsday, the show was about to suffer the fate of 100,000 other shows that couldn't get ratings. When NBC cut a deal with iTunes' new TV service, The Office was an immediate iTunes hit and now rules as the Seinfeld of iTunes. Angela Bromstead, the president of NBC Universal Television Studio, said, "I am not sure that we'd still have the show on the air without the iTunes boost." She stated the network had only ordered so many episodes, so when it went on iTunes and really started taking off, that gave us another way to see the true potential other than just Nielsen. iTunes may soon be known as the savior of TV programming, as it not only saved The Office, but most likely 30 Rock as well. While Nielsen isn't too impressed with the program, 30 Rock is expected to be a big iTunes seller. When the network signed deals with iTunes last fall, they couldn't have imagined that iTunes would be able to save shows, drive new viewers to the networks and their websites, and even change the way shows are produced. Paul Lieberstein, one of the office's executives, said ever since the iTunes effect kicked in last December, the office has paid almost as much attention to iTunes as it does to NBC. The iTunes effect is also attracting big-name directors like Harold Ramis, who will be directing an hour-long episode to air around Christmas. And that's all I have for this week, guys.
Well, Dina, thank you very much. That was the coolest Mac news. You cannot find the news anywhere better on this planet than Inside Mac Minute Daily News. You can check it out at www.insidemacradio.com. Pop on over to Mac Minute or catch it on iTunes. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Next up, Susan Cavaliero from Low Pro will be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our friends over at Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. You can find out more about these guys that are true ink on paper, real printers, real offset printing. Very cool stuff. Beautiful product. Check them out over at printingforless.com. Right now here, we're joined by our friends over at Low Pro. We have Suzanne with us. Suzanne Cavaliero from Low Pro. She's in charge of their marketing and communications. We're going to talk about some very cool new goodies that they announced at Photo Plus. Hello, Suzanne. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you guys are going to be celebrating your 40th year coming up here next year, and I think you got some special things that are going to go on around this.
Yes. Actually, for our 40th anniversary, which is going to be in 07, we're spearheading an effort with an organization called Polar Bears International to raise awareness about global warming and how it affects the polar bear community and their environment.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're very excited. And we started 40 years ago in a garage in Colorado. And, you know, since then we've been, you know, innovating new camera bags and different carrying solutions for photographers. And, you know, it's really exciting time for us, you know, to celebrate our 40th birthday with some brand new products that we have coming out next year.
Yeah, that is cool. Now, how did you guys end up from Colorado to Santa Rosa? I don't get that one.
You guys are in Santa Rosa. You could have just came in, you know, it wasn't that far to go to the station. You could just driven down and showed up.
Well, Greg Lowe actually was in Colorado. And from there, it just...
Migrated west.
Migrated west, that's right.
Got out of the Rockies.
Okay, so we got some cool events happening around the whole thing. I mean, 40 years is a long time to be in business, really.
It really is.
And that's pretty crazy.
And especially with the way that the whole photographic industry is changing these days. You know, everything's on warp speed with the advent of the digital technology and the way it's changing.
And I would really think that the whole digital technology has really helped you guys in your business to give you so much of an opportunity to have millions of people to sell cases to now.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so really, what has actually happened in your business, and how has it grown when the digital camera revolution started out? I mean, what is the kind of shifts that are going on now?
Well, we're finding that more people are finding cameras, and everybody's really going back to sort of what I've heard of, you know, back in the day, in photography, where people are actually really interested in it and becoming enthusiasts all over again, and they're embracing the digital technology that's helping them to really find their artistic talent in photography. And people are finding their cameras not just at a photo specialty store, but they're finding them in places like Best Buy and Circuit City and those places. So that's also opened up a whole new array of customers for us as well.
Are you seeing more people buying digital SLRs, and therefore they need carrying their lenses, and they need your bags now because
that's
of that?
That's right.
Oh,
yeah, and they need special features like Trico lining on the insides of the bags and dedicated storage for memory cards.
Trico lining. What is Trico lining?
It's a very soft material that protects LCD screens from getting scratched when you take it in and out of the camera bag.
Oh, So that actually is something that was never, I mean, you can just put a piece of sandpaper in there if you had an old film camera, because you never had to worry about that kind of thing. But now with those soft LCD screens, which, you know, scratch very easily, that's very important.
That's right.
What other kind of things do you have that are really exciting coming from LowPro?
Well, since we're doing the show on Saturday, and next week we're going to be in New York for the Photo Plus Expo show, we thought we'd give your listeners a little sneak peek to what we're going to be introducing at the show. And that's a new Slingshot 300 AW product. And for those listeners who aren't familiar with our Slingshot product, it's really a first of its kind, in that it's not a first sling bag, but you can really work right out of it, and you don't have to take it off of your back, even though you carry it like a backpack, but it is a sling, one strap over the shoulder. You just rotate it to the front, and it becomes perpendicular to your body, and you can unzip it and work straight right out of it.
So it sort of goes, it's sort of like a messenger bag, sort of, that sort of straps to your back, sort of, that stays in one place?
Yeah.
So flip around a little bit?
And the smaller models have stability straps, so if you're on the go, it keeps it from moving around on your back. And the largest one that we're going to be introducing next week has a waist belt, and that one was designed specifically for those larger DSLRs and lenses.
Ah, so everything that you need, everything right there at your fingertips, just grab it and go. Lenses and go.
That's cool stuff. Now, give us a breakdown. You guys have so many different ways to carry so many different things. I mean, you have multiple series of bags that hold compact flashcards, little point-and-shoot cameras, all the way up to your CompuTracker-type big backpacks that hold a ton of gear and laptops. And how do you guys really come about getting these new products and innovating these things new? Do you have professional photographers out in the field that are testing for you? Are the founders of the company still out there shooting stuff, doing things? How do you come up with all these cool ideas?
Well, we do have a lot of professional photographers that we work with. We sort of hang our hat on being the professional's choice. We work with some of the world's most famous photographers, and it's really exciting for us to brainstorm with them and to get feedback from them. And they have suggestions that we try to incorporate into our bags, because chances are if one photographer is finding something that they need, chances are the entire photographic community can find it invaluable. We also employ some really brilliant designers. Our product designers are great, and they're out there every day. And, you know, some of them are even mountain climbers themselves, so they're out there knowing, you know, for those rugged products, what we really need for materials and different D-rings and clamps and hardware. And then, you know, we have a whole community of everybody that works at our office, which is, you know, your average point and shoot picture taker. And we all have families, and, you know, we all have needs of where we need to take our pictures and how we're going to make sure we get our digital point and shoots to and from safely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, if you're a parent, you know, like, waterproof and food proof would be a real important thing to have on a bag.
Yeah. Well, even our small
keeps the crumbs out.
Digital point and shoots, we do have small camera pouches that have what we call our all-weather cover, which is our patented, almost like a raincoat, if you will, for your bag.
Oh, that's nice.
So it protects it from moisture, so juice spills and whatnot.
Juice spills,
that is a great idea, because I've been carrying around this this Canon SLR, EOS D1 Mark II, and, you know, not carrying it in a case, just throwing it over your shoulder with a strap, it would be cool to go somewhere to get a bag that just sort of, you could have like an emergency in your pocket to zip over the camera if it starts raining.
Right.
And if you had one of your bags, it has this bag with it.
That's right.
So you could take it out separately and sort of, you know, multi-use, multi-task with the bag.
Yeah, I think for every camera you buy, you have to have five bags. Is usually what happens.
Most people do. You know, they'll have a big one that they keep all of the accessories in at once, and that's sort of what they keep it stored in at home. And then they have smaller ones that they take out with them, that maybe they're just taking, you know, the digital point and shoot out, so they just need the pouch, or they're taking maybe just one or two lenses with them, so they just need the smaller shoulder bag or backpack.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's this bag fetish going on, because I'm the same problem. I have bags for bags with inside of bags.
Yeah, you have bags just to carry bags.
I don't know what it is, and I think people that like trinkets and gear, and especially some photographers, a lot of photographers I find that are very organized and like their stuff in nice little compartments.
Well, because your reputation is riding on it. When you can't get that lens out to change the lens and you miss the shot, you know, you know, basically, and the other guy gets it, he gets the photo and you don't get it. Yeah. No, it's very important to get that you know, all that gear just aligned perfectly. Or if you're a wedding photographer, guys have to keep changing lenses all the time. They don't want, you know, mess and clutter, really.
No, and that's what's cool about the low pro guys is they have all these different bags. If you just want like a little belt fanny pack to put lenses in,
yeah,
you can just swap real quick.
Yeah.
Pretty diverse coverage of stuff. Now, Suzanne, where can we find out more information about of you guys with Low Pro? Maybe some stuff that's going to be on the website. Do you guys have any kind of tips or tricks that people can actually learn about photography and storing your gear in and the white ready to pack stuff? Is there anything on your website?
Yeah, on our website you can find out all about our history and where we got started and what we're all about. And look at different products. We have a whole product finder that you can use. And with every product page, we have related products and accessories. So if you're looking for something that maybe you want to add on to it, like a camera strap, a lot of people are finding those really great for the holiday season as little stocking stuffers right now.
Oh,
those,
yeah.
Yeah, and you guys got brand new ones, too. I mean, okay, here, Susan, I got 30 seconds for you. Tell us about the new camera straps.
Well, we have four different ones. They're designed for anywhere from a nature photographer to a photojournalist or someone who just wants to carry their camera around their neck. They have double ladder locks to ensure a connection between the strap and the camera for maximum stabilization. And three of the four models have built-in memory card wallets with it, so you can do a memory card change right on the fly.
That's pretty cool stuff. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your weekend to join us here and talk with all the cool stuff going on over at Low Pro.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. You take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm using one of their backpacks. I have a CompuTracker AW.
Oh, really?
That I'm just getting ready to populate right now with some things.
Yeah. You know, that's the good thing about it was that once you have a bag, you got to fill it with lenses. You got to fill it with gear.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, all my stuff right now, and I hate to say it, you know, all my stuff's in a Porter case. In a hard Porter case made by Gary Pond, that all the professional photographer guys use Porter case, and I love, dude. Porter case rocks, okay?
Yeah.
But carrying the Porter case and the Brunhaven backpack, I'm trying to integrate. Yeah. I'm looking for a little integration here. So I'm not looking to move away from Gary's gig, but you know, we'll see.
You just need more 18 wheeler.
We'll have more information about this kind of stuff over at you can listen to Inside Digital Photo.
Yeah.
We're going to go in depth on how the pros carry their gear.
Cool.
What you really need to look for. So you're listening to the Inside Mac program. We'll be right back.
Are you a real estate agent? Then listen up. I've got something for you. NewHomePodcast.com. It's an exciting new way to reach an audience of home buyers that really understand technology and are fascinated with the new podcasts that are springing up everywhere. Now imagine having a dedicated, rabid audience that is in the market to buy or sell a home and wants every edge in getting the latest information. Maybe they're relocating to your area, maybe they're upgrading or downsizing, maybe they're first-time home buyers that are brand new to the process. Well, you can be their guide and do so with professionally produced, up-to-the-minute podcasts that are delivered automatically to their computers and iPods, and that means sales for you. We make it simple. We do all the online setup, all the production, all the delivery of the podcast. All you have to do when you want to do an episode is make a phone call. Now, we do this on a zip code exclusive basis, and zip codes are going fast. So go to the website to see if your area is still available. It's newhomepodcast.com. That's newhomepodcast.com.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by our friends over at the Digital Production Buzz, over at digitalproductionbuzz.com, and of course our buddies over at macupdate.com. And if you want the finest in technology radio that's all geared around digital photography, you can check it out over at InsideDigitalPhoto.com or just pop on over to PopPhoto.com and check out some cool stuff from Photo Plus and all kinds of things like that. So you can check that out. That was very cool. We had Susan Caballero on just now from Low Pro talking about some cool stuff they got going on, some things they announced here at the show at Photo Plus. So pretty cool for a bag company. Those guys are pretty nice.
Yeah, you know? I think that's right. You know, five bags for one every piece of gear that you buy. That's a good ratio right there.
It's pretty close.
That. Yeah, you need that, basically, yeah.
I'm probably about 2 to 1.
How many bags can you have for your iPod? I mean, 10?
You know, 20? I only have one bag for the iPod.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I only have one case, one of those Saint-Tropez Frenchy things.
You're in denial.
Lucky Pierre.
Yeah. See, you know you want 10. You know, you want 10 cases for every piece of gear that you have.
The problem is, though, is like every case I found for the iPod is garbage. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not going to lie. But, fairly soon here, we're going to have our buddy on. Okay, Harvey Stone from Brennhaven.
Oh,
Brennhaven's
yeah.
got a brand new iPod case. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, dude.
It's really cool.
Oh, dude, it's like a VAW. It's sick.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
It's a beautiful case.
Wow.
Harvey pulled another
well,
one
Harvey,
out.
Well, Harvey does not, I mean, we talk about Brennhaven. Brennhaven does bags, and, you know, I think archaeologists will dig up a Brennhaven bag and be like, my gosh, this thing looks new. It's 20,000 years old.
Yeah, you know, I have the original backpack they made for the PowerBook thing, you know, the 17-inch, and it's years old. It's a little dirty, but I bet you I can take it down. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe someone should email me
yeah.
and tell me that I'm stupid. Or maybe I'm not. But, oh, no, the emails are flowing already. Can you take a bag like a Brennhaven or a ballistic nylon bag and have it dry cleaned? Can I have it cleaned so it just
well,
comes out spanking crazy?
Well, that's something we're
going
to have to ask Harvey.
Well, Harvey says
yeah.
you can just brush it lightly with a nice sponge and some damp water and it'll come clean. Power wash it at the jet wash for $1.50. BS. Where can I take my backpack to
hey,
get
just,
the thing washed?
Just,
you know?
Just throw some water on it and then stick it in the microwave.
I think I think you can dry clean it. It's like what? Don't they use like They used to use nitromethane.
Nitro, funny cars.
And they used 111 trichloroethylene until they figured out it gave you cancer and destroyed your liver. But they have some kind of chemical.
Hey,
I don't
your
see
bag
why.
Was clean.
Yeah, well, I don't see why you can't clean a ballistic nylon bag.
Use a bullet. That's how you clean it.
It's oil based plastic. It's plastic for God's sakes. Why can't you clean it? Someone email us, please. Someone out there that's a dry cleaner or knows a dry cleaner or knows something. Can we take our cool laptop bags that are just ballistic nylon and thread? Okay, there's no cool guy, little graphics on it with little pink doggies or anything. It's just a bloody ballistic nylon bag. And can we dry clean it?
I don't know, but, you know, I wouldn't want my dry cleaners to take a risk with it. You know, I'd come back and your suit has, like, you know, plastic all gooed on top of it, you know? It's like, yeah, there you go. Yeah, just glued, you know, just like, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, anyways.
I'm not going to get to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, we had some great guests today. We had Susan, of course. We just talked about Susan Caballero from LoPro. Talking about cool stuff there. We had our buddies on from Kingston. We had Mike Sheron talking about cool stuff with Kingston. We had Dean Orlando doing the Inside Mac Minute News. Of course, Little Sammy Levin. We had Philip Hodges talking about his keynote gig. We had Andy Shallot, all kinds of great stuff. And of course, you can find out more information with our sponsors at DVDXDV, Micromat, Creative Pro, MCE Technologies, Firm Tech, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information about the Inside Mac Show at www.insidemacradio.com. And don't forget to go over to www.insidedigitalphoto.com for the coolest information about digital photography. You name it. It's all going to be there. Just pop on over to iTunes and type it in, and you'll find everything you want to know. You've been here with Scott Shepard, Brad White, and the lovely and talented Dean Orlando. We'll be back next week with more great things about your Mac. We'll be right back.